Good morning. Well, it is a privilege to stand here. I don't know about my other brothers in the ministry, but I find sometimes when I stand behind this pulpit or some other pulpit that I feel the weakest. Partly because of the huge responsibility that we've been given, and also perhaps, I don't know, we can look at ourselves and see the weaknesses that we have, and I marvel. I truly marvel in my life that God is so merciful, so merciful. I woke up early this morning. My first thought was this sermon. And I prayed about it yesterday and in the evening and hadn't come to any conclusion, really any clear thought of what to present. But this morning as I woke and I was laying in bed and I was visiting with the Lord, a few thoughts did come to my mind, a few scriptures. Not sure how long this is going to take this morning. We're special people. You know, and I don't say that for us to raise ourselves up or to pat ourselves on the back, but we are a special people. Of all the people in the world, God has chosen us to be part of His church here on earth. And if we endure to the end and keep His commandments, to be received into His kingdom. So we have a great hope. We have a great hope in this gospel that Christ has given us. And because we've been given this hope, because we are special, you know, we've been given great responsibilities. And as we sometimes struggle through life, you know, not one of us here that hasn't had struggles, have perhaps tribulations, turmoil, afflictions. But as we walk through this life, and sometimes it becomes maybe hopeless. It doesn't, you know, we don't see our way clearly. But the bottom line is that we have a great hope. That we have a God that cares about us on an individual basis, on a daily basis. You know, the Lord said in John 10:10, He said, He came to give us life. And to give us life more abundantly. And of course, our great hope is in eternal life. That at the end of this life, that we will be received into the kingdom of God. That's our great hope. But I also firmly believe that in this life, God has given us a hope. And sometimes we forget about that hope. We sometimes forget about the promise that God has given us that in our daily walk in life, that He is with us every step of the way. This past 2 years in my life has been somewhat of a struggle. Had my ups and downs. It's going to be, next month will be 2 years since my wife passed away, you know. And it's hard to believe it's been that long. But in that time, God has been with me. He's been with me in the sorrow, in the struggles, in the, I don't know, frustrations. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God is with us in our weaknesses, in our trials and our tribulations. But you know, Christ did come and He came to give us that hope. And I'm not going to talk about hope per se, but I want to talk a little bit about the Spirit of God that we have in our lives. But you know, in Romans, in the first chapter, 16th verse, you don't need to turn to it, but it says, Paul, it's only one verse, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And that's all I'm going to read of that verse. It's the power of God. That's our hope. We're commanded in the Book of Mormon to hold on to the rod of iron, to hold on to the Word of God, to hold on to the promises that God has given us. Not to give in. Not to give in to the leadings of the adversary that tries to discourage us and to fill our minds perhaps with doubts and fears. But to hold on to the gospel of Christ. I think every one of us would like to see in the future and see what our lives are going to be like next week or next year. But in reality, it's probably a good thing that we don't. Probably a good thing that we can't see the exact situations we're going to be in the future. But we need to have that faith. We need to have that hope that God will be with us. And even in our times of hopelessness, we need not to give up. For we have precious gift. You know, we've been given the opportunity of salvation. That's the precious gift that God has given us. But we also have that precious gift of the Spirit of God. You know, and we're told not to grieve that Spirit. And I'm not going to get into that. That's not my sermon this morning. But it's our responsibility to live our lives that we do not grieve the Spirit of God. Grieving that Spirit of God by our walk in life, by our thoughts and our desires and our conduct. Romans chapter 8. I want to turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the 16th and 17th verse. And it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we are. Brothers and sisters, we are the children of God. He's called us into His kingdom. He's called us out of this world. And I think we each probably have our own story of how God has called us into this gospel, whether we were born in it, whether we're converts to it. I think we all have our own story of how God led us to where we are today. Things don't happen by chance. I'm not a firm believer by any means in coincidence. Things happen for a purpose. We're here today for a purpose. God has called us into His kingdom for a purpose. And we are His children. And just like a family, you know, we have our differences, we have our difficulties. Sometimes our parents, when we're children, need to correct us. God's the same way with us. Sometimes He needs to correct us. Sometimes gently, sometimes he does it gently, but sometimes he uses a little more force in our lives. But we are His children. And I want to emphasize that today. We are the children of God. And 17th verse says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if it so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together. We're heirs. We're heirs of the kingdom. We're heirs of His blessings today. When Christ came to give us life more abundantly, He came to give us life more abundantly today. We get caught up in the world. Our trials, our tribulations, the cares of life, you know, and Luke were warned not to be overcome with the cares of life. To be prepared. How many sermons have you heard here and in other places? To be prepared. To be prepared. For what? We don't know the future exactly, but we do have clues. But the bottom line is to be prepared for the return of our Savior. To be prepared for that day when we leave this life to be received into His kingdom. That's our duty. Not to be overcome with the cares of life, but to embrace this gospel, embrace the promises, embrace the love of God. Time after time after time in the scriptures, we have a promise. Promise from God that He be with us, that He will not forsake us, that He will guide us, He will lead us. And the promise, of course, is eternal life. But how easy it is to forget those promises, to be caught up in the overwhelming influences of the world, of allowing Satan to enter our minds and our hearts and cause doubts and fears. And that's where any doubt or fear that we have in our life, it doesn't come from God. It comes from our adversary who's seeking to destroy us. As mentioned in Sunday school this morning, there's an opposition in all things. And when God stretches out His hand to lead us, the adversary is also stretching out his hand to deceive us, to fill us with doubt, with fear, to make us lose sight of our goal, to lose sight of the hope that we have, to lose sight of who we are, the children of God, and heirs to the kingdom. We're heirs to the kingdom, just like a son is heir to the fortunes of his family. We're heirs to the fortunes of our family, of our Father. What a great love. What a great love that God has for us. That He sent His Son give us hope. And what a great love Christ has for us, coming knowing. He was the author of our salvation, so He knew what He had to do. And also knew that perhaps the vast majority of mankind would reject Him. He had to die. He came and He had to die. He had to pay that ultimate sacrifice for it to mean something to us. It's the only way. For Him to die and to break the bands of death, to give us hope. Moroni chapter 8, verse 29. Moroni 8, 29. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. It says a wealth of information. Moroni 8:29 says, "And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh because of faith. Faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that we have that we can be heirs of the promise. Faith that if we give our lives to Him, He will lift us up. He will hold us up. He will give us encouragement. He knows us. He knows the situation that we're in every moment of the day. And sometimes it's as simple as turning to Him and saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I've exhausted all my options. I've exhausted all my strength and my energy. Lord, I don't know what to do. He'll reach out and He'll lift us up. So baptism cometh by faith unto fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins. I still remember. I don't know how many years it was now. I think it's got to be 45 years ago now. I remember the day that I walked into that water in that lake in Michigan. And I had a fear. It wasn't a great fear, but I was concerned because that water was cold. Northern Michigan in mid-June, that water's not warm. But I went into that water, and it was warm. That water was warm. I did not feel any cold. And when I walked out of that water, just the feeling that I had, I was clean. For that instant in my life, I was pure and righteous before God. The remission of my sins. And I had a list. Oh, I had a long list, but God was faithful. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And just want to mention here, it's impossible, and I've said this before, and I'll probably say it every time I stand up here, it's impossible to serve God if you're not humble. We may think we're humble, we may think we're submissive, but God will cause it. He makes us look at ourselves through somebody's remark or just a impress of the Spirit. He makes us look at ourselves, and if we're honest, we have to be honest with ourselves. We're not humble. I look at myself and find I haven't been humble like I'm commanded to be. But we need to be. And then because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost. Which comforter? We're going to read about that. The Lord sending his comforter. It fills with hope and perfect love. And I'm not going to get into that. Other than sometimes we think the perfect love is we never have a disagreement. We never have an argument. We never get hurt. We never... All these things, that's impossible. It's how we handle it. It's how we view the other person. Charity covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't cover mine when I look at you, but it covers yours when I look at you. Charity of Christ covers a multitude of sins. That love of Christ for us. Just imagine. I want us to imagine the multitude of sins that love of Christ covers in our lives. Can we do any less for our brothers and sisters, for each other, than look at each other through the eyes of Christ? And the Book of Mormon commands us that we have to have that love, that charity of Christ in our hearts when He returns. That when we look at each other, we don't look at the sin, we don't look at the weakness, but we look at the person through the eyes of Christ. Looking beyond what we see every day, maybe. I had an experience one time of that very fact that I saw a person, and I saw that person how Christ saw that person. Not what I thought were weaknesses or what was making me feel the way I did, but I looked in that person's soul and saw what Christ saw and how precious that soul was in His sight. Can I do any less? Can we do any less for our brothers and sisters? Perfect love looks beyond our weaknesses, looks beyond our imperfections. I'm not going to get into the scriptures on charity, but if you read about charity, and there's one, and I'll be honest with you, it's probably one of the most difficult of the aspects of charity for me to fully yield to, I guess, is think no evil. Thinketh no evil. And I don't think for, I really don't think for a minute that it thinks that we, that our thoughts need to be pure and we don't think bad thoughts. I don't think that's what he's talking about. Talking about looking at each other and judging our motives. Yeah. I see Brother Jim go into Quick Trip with a gun and rob Quick Trip. I can judge the Jim rob Quick Trip. But I can't go beyond that. I can't go and look in his heart and say, well, why did you do that, Jim? You know, he could have had a multitude of reasons. Thinketh no evil. I do not think evil about why or what. Let's not judge each other's motives. Let's judge righteously. We think no evil about our brothers and sisters. Anyway, that's just a side note, I guess. Which love endureth by diligence unto prayer. Oh. Diligence. Kind of an interesting word, you know. We go through this life and we read the scriptures and kind of expect blessings. Where we have to be diligent unto prayer. We have to endure to the end. We have to keep the commandments. All these things that are required of us to receive the promise. Until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. Isn't that the hope of the gospel? Isn't that the hope that we have? That when I pass from this life, that I can be my wife and stand beside my Lord with his arm around me. Think about it. Think about it. That's our reward. That's what we have to look forward to. That's for eternity. For eternity. John 14:15. John 14:15, and I got it written down, so if I'm a little too fast for you, I apologize. But it says in 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Simple verse. 7 words. If you love me, keep my commandments. But kind of important, aren't they? In 16, he says, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's part of what makes us special, brothers and sisters. The world cannot receive this comforter that we have, that we receive at the day that we had the hands laid on us for the reception of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Spirit touches people. He guides and directs. The Spirit walked with me for 2 or 3 years before I actually received that Spirit as a gift. But he came and he went and he was there and he wasn't. So the world cannot receive this Spirit of God as the gift that God has promised. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. We know that Spirit of God because he's touched us, he's led us, we've heard him. We've experienced that Spirit of God in our lives. You ever been driving along in your car or your truck or your bicycle or your motorcycle and all of a sudden you feel that Spirit just overwhelming you. It's amazing. It's amazing. But we know him. We know the Spirit of God. We've experienced the Spirit of God. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I think sometimes we forget. Oh, no, we don't forget, but we kind of don't think about it. That Spirit of God never leaves. Dwells within us, is in us, is guiding us, is directing us, filling us with love and with comfort. We don't always feel it. We don't always walk around with that burning in our heart. We don't always walk around with that presence that we feel, but He never, ever leaves us. In verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Then in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of the Spirit? Have you listened to the sermons? Have you listened to the prayers? Have you listened to the testimonies? Have you listened to that voice that speaks to us when we read the Scriptures? Are we listening for God to teach us? And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, of course, he was talking to his disciples, but we have the words of the disciples. Isn't he going to bring his words to our remembrance? Is it the Apostle Peter said, we have everything we need for salvation. We lack nothing. What did Paul say? He said, the gospel of Christ is the power of God. We have it. We have everything we need. So the day of our baptism, we receive that Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And the people had heard the apostles preaching. You know, and it had been a marvelous experience. Everybody from different countries and different walks of life, and the apostles were speaking, everybody understood them in their own language. Pretty amazing. You know? Pretty amazing. But verse 37, he says, people, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He called us. He called us, every one of us. Second Nephi chapter 13, verse 16. Second Nephi 13, 16 and 17. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, and here maybe it's the crux of the gospel of Christ, full purpose of heart. And it's difficult. I'm not going to say sometimes it's not easy. Acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent. Repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels, and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Do we shout praises to God? Maybe we're afraid to shout praises to God. Maybe we're afraid to stand and praise Him. Are we afraid? But we can speak with the tongue of angels. You know, and if you go to the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 2, it says, but behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, ye should speak with the tongues of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. We speak, brothers and sisters, with the tongue of angels. We speak the words of Christ. We speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. There's times in my life I have to confess I did not feast as I should upon the words of Christ. Get busy. Raising a family. Working two jobs. You get tired. Feast. Take the time to feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ would tell you all things what ye should do. Simple. Simple concept. The words of Christ will tell us what to do. How slow sometimes we are to receive the words of Christ and to hold on to that rod and to listen. Listen. John chapter 15. John 15 verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That Spirit of God is his witness to you and to me that he is. That Spirit testifies in our hearts and our minds that God is real. That we can stand and say, I know. I don't think, or maybe, I know who I believe in. I believe in God. I know him. I know Jesus Christ. Because he's been a part of my life. He's talked to me. He's visited with me. He's chastised me. Testifies of his goodness. Don't need to turn to it, but in 3 Nephi in the 13th chapter says, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. We have that sure witness. Don't let your faith fail. Don't let your faith waver in these latter days and the times. It's going to get worse. I believe fully that it's going to get worse. Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's only by the power of God that we can resist. I've had personal experiences that it's only by the power of God that we can resist the advances of Satan. That without God, we're hopeless, we're powerless. But to receive these blessings and these promises, to receive our hope, to receive the guidance and direction of God and his strength in our daily lives, we have some responsibilities. We have some responsibilities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20, Paul starts with a question. What? He says what? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Every one of us has been baptized and received that gift. We are the temple of God, and God dwells with us. He sits with us. He communes with us. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. What was that price? The price that Christ paid on the cross. He paid for us. He bought us. We're his. He gave his life. Think about it. I want you to just ponder that for a second. He gave his life for us. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Do we glorify God every day? Do we glorify Him in our speech and our actions? Unfortunately, we don't. We don't. We may think we do sometimes, and sometimes we find out later that we haven't. But our responsibility, our duty, our calling is to glorify God. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Abhor, hate, detest. Do we? Do we hate evil? Or do we allow it into our lives? Do we cleave to that which is good? Cleave. Glued. Are we glued? Are we bonded to that which is good? Just think about it. Just think about it. Book of Mormon, Alma chapter 10. Alma chapter 10. And this was speaking to the priesthood, but can God expect anything less of each of us? Alma 10, verse 4, it says, now they, after being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, having their garments made white, being pure and spotless before God, could not look upon sin, save it were with abhorrence. Do we look on sin with abhorrence? God's pretty simple. He is. We may think He's complicated, but a lot of times He's simple. Black and white. That's God. He's black or white. There's no gray. There's no justification. There's no, oh, this is okay, or we can do this, or we can allow this in our home, or we can allow this in our lives. That's not God. God is black and white. God is black and white. 2 Nephi chapter 6, verse 98. 2 Nephi 6, verse 98, it says, behold, my soul abhorreth sin, and my heart delighteth in righteousness, and I will praise the holy name of my God. I hope we can all say that verse and mean it. My soul abhorreth sin. My heart delighteth in righteousness, and I will praise the holy name of my God. What did Paul say? That Spirit of God dwells in us, and our duty, our responsibility is to praise and give glory to God. Come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perisheth not. Neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto Him continually by day, and give thanks unto His holy name by night. Let your hearts rejoice, and behold how great the covenants of the Lord, and how great His condescensions unto the children of men. Oh, how great are His covenants. Unbreakable on His part. He made covenant with us. The day that we were baptized, He made a covenant. And He will fulfill His part of the bargain. We made a covenant. And our covenant was to serve Him and to keep His commandments and endure. And we have eternal life. We have eternal life. We have an ally. We have an ally that goes to God. That ally is that Spirit of God that dwells in you. And, you know, because the Spirit dwells in us, He knows us. He knows every one of us. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our temptations. He knows our desire. Perhaps that's the most important thing. What is our desire? But God knows us because of that Spirit that dwells within us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. So we have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of the Spirit of God in us. And now we have this, I think, maybe the third greatest promise. Third greatest blessing of the Scripture is found in these verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also help with our infirmities. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I have all these things in my heart and my mind that I pray for. But do I know everything that I need? Apparently not. Apparently not. He says, for we know not what we should pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think of that. Groanings which cannot be uttered. How he pleads for us. I can just picture that Spirit of God going to God and saying, and pleading for Brother Jim who just robbed a Circle K. You know, he's pleading for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's God again on our side. The Spirit of God is going to God because God wants him to. God is saying, come and present the souls of my people before me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. If I remember correctly, my mother-in-law's favorite scripture. She always quoted that to me. All things work together for good to those that love God. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. We got to love each other. I think it was mentioned this morning already, before the service, that great love. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, but whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We overcome. You know, the promise is in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that we have the victory. We have the victory over death. We have the victory over Satan. We have the victory over this world. And we have someone who fights for us. That Spirit of God. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. We have hope. We have hope in this gospel. We have hope in the gospel of salvation that Christ preached. We have hope because of his death and his resurrection. We have hope because of his promises. And we have hope today because of his promises. Be strong. Be faithful. Call upon God. Take advantage, and I use that word with respect. Take advantage of the Spirit of God that we have in our lives. Call upon him. Use him. He will strengthen us. He will go to God for us. Give us everything that we need. Is he going to take all our struggles? No. Is he going to take all our problems? No. Is he going to take the things that we have to live with on a daily basis? No. But he can make them easier. And he can guide us through them and help us to focus. To focus that at the end of our lives we have that ultimate promise. You know, I think of our sister who spent, I don't know how many years, flat on her back and was an inspiration to everybody. But, you know, when you think about it, I don't know how many years it was. And you know, your heart went out to her, but the bottom line is the 20, 30, 40 years that we may suffer in this life, compared to eternity, it's nothing. It's nothing. We have a hope. And we have a gift. And we have a strength that the world does not have. We have that Spirit of God. God bless you. And I pray that daily that we'll be strengthened by God. Thank you.